Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 205 of Her, the podcast where you'll hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her bra and her breast. Yeah, this is going to be very provocative and a really terrific show. Before we begin, just know that this episode is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And here's your first official reminder to click on iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show, because we look forward to hearing from you and we love your feedback. So please, and we'll give you another little bit of a reminder after the episode as well. All right, it's time for Her.
Her. The podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind. Her body. Her life. It's all about her.
So for years, I, as a physician and an expert in women's health, have been reading all kinds of thoughts and controversy and debates about the relationship between breast cancer and the use of bras to support breasts. And then along comes a book entitled Dress to Kill, The Link Between Breast Cancer and Bras. Now, this is authored by Dr. Sidney Ross Singer. And what an interesting background. I want to learn more about it, too. So Dr. Singer is a medical anthropologist. I did one class of medical anthropology as a pre-med at Berkeley. One of my best, by the way. He is an author and director of the Institute for the Study of Cultural Genetic Disease. So Dr. Singer has a background in anthropology, medicine, biochemistry, and medical humanities, and is a pioneer in applied medical anthropology, examining the cultural causes of disease. All right, you got me at that. I'm absolutely intrigued. Dr. Singer, welcome to the Herb Podcast.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Peek.
So tell me, first of all, I know that our vast, mostly female audience out there is scratching their heads saying cultural genetic disease. Can you just expound on that for a moment?
Yes. Basically, what we do is we study how the culture makes us sick. There's all sorts of things we do in our lifestyles, the stresses we have, the pollution that we're exposed to. And, you know, all of these cultural factors that give us our attitudes and behaviors and that really modify how our bodies work. Stress is an obvious modifier of your body by making all sorts of hormones get released and tightness in muscles and so forth. Using any controlled substances, drinking alcohol, coffee, tobacco, everything that we consume, sugar, all of these things are culturally program. I mean, we do them because our culture teaches us to do them, and they can cause disease, and those are culturogenic diseases. And to fight these diseases, you basically have to examine what you're doing to yourself that's making you sick, and then remove that cultural cause, and usually the body heals by itself because the body knows how to be healthy. We just get in the way with harmful cultural practices.
I love this term, culturogenic disease. Who coined that? Where did that actually come from?
Well, that's actually my term. We're pioneers in this field. When I was in medical school, I went to University of Texas Medical Branch at Galveston. And, when I was involved in medicine, I became acutely aware of how little attention was paid to prevention and to what we do to ourselves. And one day I was blown away when I heard them say that the biggest predictor of disease is poverty. And if a person is poor, they're going to have a higher risk of all sorts of diseases. So it occurred to me that as doctors, we should be fighting poverty. And that didn't go across well. My comments about that, like I was feeling, why aren't we addressing these lifestyle cultural factors that are making people sick instead of just looking for ways to treat it early detection and treatment of disease. That means you get the disease. And then one day we just got personally thrown into the field of breast cancer when my wife discovered a lump in her breast while she was pregnant. And we began to, you know, ask, how could this happen? What is she doing to herself? Because that's what the way we think. Like, what am I? I have a healthy body that knows how to fix itself and operate properly. What could I have possibly done to myself and to my breast that could have caused this? And that's how we got into the breast cancer world. And we were amazed at what we discovered was we actually rediscovered something that's been known for a long time. About how women constrict their breasts with bras and how that leads to breast disease. Doctors have known about this, we found out, since there have been bras. There was this, you know, Dr. Mayo, who founded the Mayo Clinic, knew bras caused breast cancer. He wrote about that in the Annals of Surgery in 1931. And they knew the lymphatic system, which is critical for health as part of the immune system, that gets impaired by constriction from bras. They've known that that causes cancer, too, since the 1930s. But this information is so simple and it's been forgotten. And when bras changed from the 1930s, where they were compression binder bras, remember, in the flapper days, women wanted to have very small breasts and look masculine. So they bound their breasts, like a lot of transsexuals do now, too. Transsexual men have breasts and they bind them and they're causing disease in them, too. And then the bras became, doctors knew that was causing breast cancer. And then the bras became more conical shaped and more lift the breast. And doctors were happy that maybe that means the constriction would end. But, you know, if they recognize bras cause cancer, it's a matter of like, well, what's the least offensive bra? And over time, the issue has just sort of faded from conversation. It's so normal to wear, to have to worry about the position of your breasts on your chest, to have to lift them and create an artificially shaped breast. That's the cultural issue. And women are conditioned to feeling they need that. And they wear these garments that to change the shape, you have to apply pressure. And pressure interferes with lymphatic circulation and causes immune dysfunction and basically chronic lymphedema of the breasts. Women have chronic lymphedema from constriction. And after decades of that, you bet it's going to take its toll. And even before cancer, it causes breast cysts and breast pain. I mean, the cyst is collected lymph fluid that after years of lymph stasis and lymph congestion, the tissue creates cysts of pockets of the lymph fluid, which many women, as you know, get aspirated every year with a big needle pulling that fluid out. And they're not asking, why is this fluid occurring in the first place? You say, oh, it's normal. Because most women in our culture wear bras, and most of those women experience breast pain and cysts. Right now, there's probably throughout the world hundreds of millions of women at this moment who are experiencing some breast pain, discomfort, or disease caused by constriction from bras, and they're wearing them too long and too tight every day.
So what is the answer then? I mean, I know right now my Her podcast audience is going, say what? Wait a minute. Oh, my gosh. And they're probably all wearing bras as we speak. I mean,
yeah, well, you know,
what's the solution?
I've been doing this for 25 years. And when we first came out with this in 1995, we did a study on this. OK, it wasn't just surmise. After we thought, you know, okay, so let me go back to the story when we discovered this lump. Okay. This was like in the early 90s and we were on a remote island in Fiji doing some other field work on a different issue. And my wife had just taken, she had a bras out on a line to hang. She was wearing bras back then. And, we were on a remote island and a young girl came over and looked at the bra and said, what is this for? I mean, she really never saw a bra before. And, my wife had to explain to her why you wear it. And it's like kind of weird. Why do you have to wear that? And then she said, isn't it tight? And my wife said, well, it is. I suppose it is, but you get used to it. And then a week later, she discovered this lump. We flew back to the States in a panic. And she took her bra off after a long flight from Fiji and went to take a shower. We looked at her breast now for clues. What could be going on? And we saw these typical red marks and indentations around her breast left by the bra. And it was suddenly, I mean, you've seen that before. Every woman knows these because bras are all tight. So what you normally ignore it. You rub it a little and say, oh, well, it's annoying, but, you know, I guess that's normal. And the thing is, it's not healthy because those are signs of constriction. So then the next question is, what can constriction of the breast do? Well, it interferes. The first thing that gets constricted is your lymphatic system, which is a network of microscopic tubules that drain the fluid from the breast to the lymph nodes. And this is part of your immune system because in the draining of the fluid, it also drains out toxins and waste products and cancer cells and viruses and bacteria. And it goes to the lymph nodes, mostly in the armpit for the breast. That mounts an immune response if necessary. And that's how your breasts take care of themselves. This circulation is essential, and the blood delivers the fluid, but the fluid that percolates through your breast tissue has to then drain mostly through the lymphatics. Now, if you wear a tight garment around the breast to change the shape of the breast, you impinge on these microscopic vessels that have no pressure propelling their fluid. They propel fluid by body movement, by breathing. When your breasts bounce as you naturally walk, there's a natural movement which actually pumps the lymph through your breasts. So when you interfere with that by caging the breasts in a tight bra, immobilizing them, and, you know, the lymph doesn't escape very well. And over time, your cells in your breasts are sitting in like toxic fluid. All the pollution in our environment, all the toxins that we're exposed to go through your body that you breathe, eat, you know, drink. It courses through your body and has to be flushed out largely by the lymphatics. And if they're constricting that, the breasts are getting exposed to all these toxins much longer. They're getting concentrated there. And the immune system can't fight anything that develops because its circulatory pathway for fighting things has been shut down. So you have a perfect storm recipe for breast disease. And that's why women get breast pain. And that it's even worse during if they're premenopausal and still having periods. Women know when their periods are coming because their breasts swell at that time in the month from estrogen, right? And then they're wearing the same bra all month long. So their breasts are even more constricted. And that's why they'll experience cysts more during that time of the month and more breast pain. And then it goes away after their breasts get, you know, the estrogen goes down and their breast size goes down again. It's like a monthly flushing of the breast. But if you're wearing a bra during that flushing, it's going to be painful during the time when the breasts have more fluid in them. So,
most of us as women, we know that little rotten feeling. You know, we've sort of been there, done that. So, Dr. Singer, what's the solution? We're all like sitting on the edge of our chair. What is the solution?
Well, first of all, you know, you don't need a bra. You're brainwashed into thinking you do by a culture. I mean, that's why this is culture caused. Women don't need a bra. And in fact, when they stop wearing bras, and this is what's kept this issue alive all of these years, women could test this on themselves. I mean, if you want to know right now, has my bra been harming my breasts? Just stop wearing it for a month. Your body will know what typically happens in like 90% of the time or more is that any breast pain or cysts will be gone within weeks. It might feel a little weird if you've been wearing a bra since puberty to take it off after 10, 20 years. And some women wear them 24/7 and you stop wearing it. It might feel a little strange, but that's mostly psychological. And your breasts lift and tone after you stop wearing a bra because the bra creates sag. It actually, for two reasons. The first reason is this has been studied, and I'm not just making this up, and you can experience this yourself. The breasts are heavier with fluid, so they're actually more pendulous because they're congested with fluid. So you stop wearing the bra, the fluid decongests. Secondly, the bra creates an artificial support for the breasts. So the natural suspensory ligaments that would normally hold your breasts up become even weaker from non-use, like putting your arm in a sling will weaken your shoulder ligaments. So when you stop wearing a bra, those ligaments recover to some degree, especially if you're premenopausal, and the fluid goes away, and your breasts will actually lift and tone. They also say they can breathe easier without a tight strap band around the chest. They can move easier. There have been studies done on athletic women who stopped wearing bras for the study and found that they moved better and preferred being bra-free after the study. So it's not like you need them for support in any way. They said the same thing about corsets and about girdles. All of these companies that try to make these body shaping clothing try to say how it's good for you. It gives you support. Anytime you support the body from the outside, not only do you lose the internal support mechanisms that weaken, but you also create circulatory problems your body is not meant to be pushed and squeezed and compressed. It has to circulate. Circulation is essential for health. So,
here's an issue then. The majority of women in the United States are now overweight or obese. Okay, that's the majority. Mm-hmm. So they have large breasts. So if they need to do something like exercise or whatever, this is a bit problematic. So what do you, and the same thing really occurs in terms of their own clothing, because clothes are actually made assuming you're wearing a bra. You know, try to put on a dress, right? When you don't have that bra, especially if it's more of a form-fitting dress, it could be a little bit of an issue. So what do you recommend for women who are large-breasted, both in their daily life as well as their more, you know, active life and when they're doing exercise?
Well, I think I know a lot of large-breasted women who are bra-free and have absolutely no problem. If they want to wear, they don't need to lift their breasts. I mean, the larger your breast, the less you want to lift it, because you ever see these large breasted women with deep grooves in their shoulders? The bra strap, you know, if you can take the weight of your breast and try to lift your breast, you have to distribute that weight somewhere. And usually it's to the shoulders, and you see these deep grooves that impinge on the nerves going down the arms and give numbness and tingling in the hands, causes headaches, back aches, it's compressing.
But what do you do if you're someone who's brisk walking or running? You know, even if you're smaller chested, you know, the breasts move all over the place. If you're larger breasted, it's a bit of an issue. So what do you recommend for people like that?
Well, the more you exercise your ligaments, the stronger they'll be. You know, within limits, exercise is good to some bouncing. When my wife stopped wearing a bra, and her lump went away, by the way. Her breasts, she couldn't bounce or anything without holding her breasts. She's large breasted. And then she got to now, she can rebound and she feels really comfortable with it. It takes some getting used to. The other thing is, do body friendly exercises. If you're very large, you don't want to be running around anyway. You'll hurt your knees and your ankles and your hips. It's a good idea to do low impact exercises. Swimming is great. Your breasts will lift in the water and float and be very happy. And you can move freely. There's bicycling. There's lots of weight yoga. There's things you can do that are good for your body, give you good cardiovascular exercise without being too bouncy. But losing weight is a good thing. And anyway, and if a woman feels just generally she's obese, I mean, there's all sorts of diseases she's increasing herself for having.
All right. Now I'm going to go to the cultural place, right? So what about dress codes at work?
Yes.
Professional dress codes,
yes,
or however somebody's got a dress code out there. If it's not work, it's some kind of a personal thing or back and forth. What do we do with dress codes that say it's inappropriate to, you know, be walking around without a bra? What's your take on that?
Well, I'm glad I just wrote an article about that recently, and I am involved in those issues too. There are a lot of women from high school up to older women who are refusing to comply with bra-wearing dress codes, even if they're usually implicit, not explicit. Usually a dress code will not say you need to wear a bra. They'll just say you need to be presentable or something vague. And it's like an unwritten thing. And when a woman doesn't want to wear a bra because it's uncomfortable and it's hurting her breast and she has a right to, the way the laws are now, it's considered sexual harassment to force a woman to wear anything that a man doesn't have to wear at the same job. And sex shouldn't even be in the workplace. I mean, think about this for a minute. When we have a woman going to work, I mean, the work should not be a sexual place unless you're a sex worker, right? If you're going to work as a secretary or a doctor or a lawyer or whatever as a woman, you're there for your work like a man would be. You shouldn't have to wear high heels, stockings, cosmetics, a bra, a girdle, have your hair permed, have perfume on, and basically be dressed to kill every time you go to work. You should be able to work as a normal person, not be looking, you know, pump up. A bra can create a fetish of the breast. And it brings attention to the breast. The only reason professional attire assumes a woman wears a bra is because the culture has gone that way. And you should realize that the whole bras are designed by gay men. I mean, the whole industry is not all of them, but many gay men are in charge of bra design. It's not designed for women. It's not health. It's not designed for comfort. It's a male-designed garment to help sexualize the breasts, and it's sold on the basis of support and or whatever it takes to sell them. But the fact is they are as important and as necessary as corsets. And unfortunately, they killed people for hundreds of years while health reformers tried getting rid of them. But everyone, I'm sure, back then thought, I can't go to work without my corset. I can't go in public without my corset. I have to have this figure. It's the same with the bra. So to break that, women are finally saying no. They're wearing, you can wear a bralette, you know, you can cover your breasts, you don't, but they're worried, God forbid my nipple will show through. I mean, in our culture, the sight of a nipple protruding through a blouse on a woman is scandalous, but a man can have a bare chest and it's not a problem. So we have a really bad sexist double standard in our culture, which is being addressed by the Me Too movement. You know, women should not have to worry about the shape of their breasts to do anything in the world. It's their, you know, it's irrelevant. It shouldn't matter for anything. And if our culture has this breast fetish, which obviously has, and it wants women to look a certain way and create cleavage to look whatever, I mean, women can still choose to do that, but they need to know that this can lead to breast disease. And I've been fighting that. Now, you know, we did the world's first study specifically on bras and breast cancer. And it was a questionnaire. We asked nearly 5,000 U.S. women back in the early 90s when we discovered this, and we realized nobody's really looked at it. And we didn't know about the 1930s stuff until the internet came around and made it easy to research that. But, you know, we looked up the literature, like, who's talking about bras? You know, when you think about breast disease, the first thing you should think is, what are women doing to their breasts? And they're wearing bras. Like, if your feet hurt, the first thing you think is your shoes. But, you know, if people are coughing while they're smoking, you'd think they would realize it was the smoking that causes their lung problems. But, you know, doctors fought that for 30 years after the first studies that found linking the two, because it was a smoking culture. Even doctors smoke. You can find YouTube videos of doctors selling Camel cigarettes, saying doctors prefer Camels. And, you know, after a hard day of work, you like to relax with a cigarette. So we, as a culture, we become blinded to what we do that's obviously stupid. And if you take, you know, it's easy to look at the past and it's easy to look at other cultures, which is what most anthropologists do. I look at us. I look at our culture and what are we doing that's obviously stupid, but our culture has brainwashed us into thinking that not only is it normal, but it's essential. And there's something wrong with us if we don't comply. So to get back to your question about dress codes, women are going to have to just stand up for themselves. And if anybody says anything about their breasts, that's sexual harassment, and they should just, you know, it's not a woman's responsibility to keep men's minds on their work because they happen to have a little jiggle in their breasts because they're not wearing a bra. And you could see that. I mean, that's so juvenile and ridiculous and such a burden to put on women. Men should control their own minds and their attitudes. And I'll tell you something else. A woman in a push-up bra will get a lot more attraction. I mean, she's essentially asking for the attention by taking her breasts voluntarily, strapping them in a garment that pushes them together and up higher on her chest, and goes out in public asking people, essentially with her blouse and everything, to look at her cleavage. That, to me, is what is normal and what women are expected to do at work in the past. And that is the deep-rooted cultural problem here. We've sexualized breasts to the point where a woman is wondering, can I even go out in public normal with my body the way it is, wearing, not, you know, I'm not top free. I'm wearing a blouse like a man wears a shirt. Yet, you know, if you look at 1930s, it's natural. You know, you look at 1930s movies and women didn't wear bras and they were very glamorous women and, you know, they were attractive and whatever. And it was normal.
I think that a lot of people today have not seen that data and haven't seen those pictures and back and forth. And this also brings me to one last thing, and that is that, you know, women today, because they want to maintain a particular shape in their clothes, are now wearing compression clothing. You know, it's all of that, you know, everything from bodysuits to, the tops that basically go right over the camisoles that go over bras, et cetera. Some of them have built-in bras. What's your thought on the compression clothing?
Well, you can imagine what my thought is on that. you know, it's being sold as important for whatever, but it's going to cause circulatory issues, especially of the lymphatic system. You know, and I think the data on them being good for athletes, you know, to keep the blood, you know, from pooling and reducing fatigue and all of that is, it's very mixed. A lot of the stuff is coming from the industry. I wouldn't trust it personally. I think we just as a culture have to get over this obsession with transforming our body shape, but it's a normal human thing. I mean, there are cultures all over the world that do body transformations, tattoos, body piercing, you know, all sorts of transformations. It's like a cultural thing. We want to change the way we look. The unfortunate thing is that when you do that, you often change the way your body operates. And if it's a tight
and I think that really is the takeaway. No, that really is the takeaway. When you do that transformation, it really does change the body in some way. When you're doing especially this type of compression type interventions, as it were. So, you know, I really think that this is incredibly important discussion to have. And what really warms my heart is that you're a scientist and that you're someone with an extensive academic background who has taken the time to look at this, you know, really motivated by what happened to someone you love. I think people out there really need to be able to hear your side in a big way, because they don't hear that on a routine basis, because it's more of an industry focus. So everyone out there, we've been talking to Dr. Sidney Ross Singer, and his book is Dressed to Kill: The Link Between Breast Cancer and Bras, and really, for all intent and purposes, all things about the compression of the body, but in this case, the breasts are a huge piece of this. I can't thank you enough, Dr. Singer, for being on the HER podcast today.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having this conversation. It needs to happen much more, and women need to take control over their health, and knowledge is the way to get that control.
Well, and get that book, everyone. Like I said, Dressed to Kill. This is going to be an important discussion, and this is something that needs to happen, especially as it relates to women in the workplace, and how the culture actually looks at women per se, literally looks at women. So everyone out there, this has just been a really compelling and provocative discussion. So take a moment right now. Hit iTunes and rate and review this show, because I'd like to hear your feedback. What are your thoughts about this whole issue of bras per se? Well, why am I interested? Because, well, I'm Dr. Pam Peek. I'm the host of the HER podcast. So follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every single episode on the HER podcast, iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today. And please stay well.